man.
Hey man, hey man, sit down. Sit down quickly.
It is hot today. But I'm going to use this. It is a gorgeous day though. So I want to share quickly with you from Psalm chapter 34. There's a story, it's a crazy story in the Bible. It's in 1 Samuel. David is trying to be king, but he's trying not to kill the present king. If you know anything about that story, David told God, I'm not going to kill Saul. Saul went crazy. He was afflicted by an evil spirit from the Lord. I don't know how that fits into your faith, but that's challenging for me. Saul departed the Lord, and the Lord afflicts Saul with an evil spirit, and so he started chasing David. For 10 years, for a decade of his life, David didn't spend a night in the same place twice because Saul was hunting for him, because Saul was threatened. He knew that David was supposed to be the king. There's this crazy story where David goes to a priest, gets some special bread, and then leaves the temple with the sword that he killed Goliath with. That's how you know David, right? David and Goliath, do you remember that story? David ends up with that sword. You need to read that story. That's in 1 Samuel 20 and 21. You should read that story. So he leaves there, and then he runs to the Philistine camp. The story's too long for me to try to break down for you. But this is what David wrote right after he left that part of the story. This is Psalm chapter 34. David wrote this. It says, a psalm of David, when he pretended to be insane before Abimelech, who drove him away and he left. Okay, quickly about that. Abimelech was the king, another king who was chasing him, and David had to go to the Philistine camp, and he was in front of Achish, the king of Gath. It's this whole big thing. He didn't know how he was going to get out of it, so he pretended to go nuts. That's a funny story. He started spitting and letting spit. He was dancing around and acting crazy. So Achish, the king of Achish, was like, get him out of here, he's crazy. This is where David writes these words. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and he delivers them. What's interesting to me about this verse is he says this, I will glory in the Lord, let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Something that we miss when we read the story of David is that he has drawn to himself a group of about 400 people who follow him everywhere he goes. And these people are the least of these. These people have nowhere to go. They're the poor. They're the least of these. They are drawn to him because his leadership is natural and because God blesses him. So even though he's running for his life, people follow him no matter where he goes because God brings him success. And that's the same man, David, who's being chased for 10 years. His life is on the line every day, never sleeps in the same place twice. Leading a group of the least of these, the poor, the sick, the disenfranchised, thieves, people who have no home, people who that society considers to be nothing. He says to them, I will extol the Lord at all times. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. All that I want to say to you today, folks, is this group of people right here, we are not the least of these. We're not. We're not the dregs of society. We are not those for whom there is no support. We are not those for whom there are no loved ones. We are not those people. And if David can say at that point in his life, running for his life with no place to call home, leading a group of people who were the least of these, if he can say, I will extol the Lord at all times, let the afflicted hear and rejoice, then folks, we have reason to rejoice every day, all day. Amen. We cannot be those people who allow our momentary troubles to cause us to think that somehow we're less than. We can't allow the difficulties that we experience in our interpersonal relationships to make us think that somehow we don't have what we need or that God is not paying attention. Folks, we are blessed. We are blessed beyond measure. Every one of you who drove here in a car this morning, I hope you understand that makes you as part, that you're part of the 5% of the world's population in riches. Part of the 5%. You're the top 5%. If you drove here in a car that works and it's yours, whether you've paid it off or not, you're part of the top 5%. If you've got two running vehicles, you're part of the top 3% of the world's population in riches. Ladies and gentlemen, we are rich. We have everything that we need. We are blessed. We are out here in this beautiful park. We have got food to eat. We have got fellowship to get involved in, and we are blessed. Can I encourage you? Just enter into that. We have reason to praise God every day from the time your eyes open to the time your eyes close. You have reason to praise the Lord. And I know that that's hard because I know we're not all physically totally well in our bodies. And I know some of us have some financial challenges. And I know that for some of us, the future maybe is not clear or it's not great. I know that every one of you is not working the job that you just were born to work. You love going into work 80 hours a week or doing whatever you do. I understand that. But we can't let our blessing become something we complain about. Hallelujah. My car payment is too high. I'm not sure who made you buy that car. I don't know that you can blame that on someone. The taxes that I have for my house, they're too high. I totally agree with you, but you have a house. I pay too much for my insurance. Can you go to the doctor? Yeah. That's a blessing. I'm just asking you to change the way you think. Because we are a blessed people. Amen?
Amen.
Father, we thank you so much for the blessings of our lives. God, let us never fall into any trap or any hole that the enemy has set for us, attempting to pull out of us our love and our passion and our joy and our contentment. God, we are so blessed and we are so grateful for all the blessings of our lives. If your servant David, you said a man after your own heart, if your servant David, while he was running for his life, who had to pretend he was crazy at one point in time to get out of trouble, who led a group of over 400 people who were just at that point in time considered the dregs of society. They weren't even considered people. They were the least of these. If that man can say, I will extol the Lord at all times, hear all you people, all you afflicted, and rejoice, then God, we who are among your blessed people can rejoice at all times. We love you, Father. We give you the glory and the honor that you are due. We thank you for every resource that it's at our disposal. We thank you, Father, for even the challenges that are in our lives because they bring us closer to you. We thank you for everything today, God. We love you. We are blessed. We declare that we are blessed and not cursed. We are the front of the line, not the back of the line. We are your people and we are blessed. We love you, God. We thank you. We give you this time. The food has been blessed. We love you. And we're going to just enjoy our time with you in your presence and together in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen. Amen.